I think it's fine for groups to come to, for people to come to town hall meetings with strong views and to use them as opportunities to express them to the lawmaker. What personally troubles me is when people from either the right or the left are part of groups in which they come to these meetings with talking points. They're specifically instructed to try to create moments to embarrass the policymaker, to capture these moments on their phones and then to distribute them in social media. So, I mean, and the thing is, if you look at the literature from activist groups on both the right and left, they have carefully described procedures for town hall meetings, but they have nothing to do with actually trying to elicit the views of the lawmaker, but are very much steered towards creating provocative moments to basically make the person uncomfortable and to interrupt the meeting. I mean, I saw one group, for example, on their website. They said that, you know, once you know, you're handed the microphone, if the lawmaker is at all evasive, don't hand the microphone back. And I saw another one that said that, you know, if the lawmaker starts to make comments that they disagree with, everyone should start booing. Another one said that they should spread out throughout the room, so the booing seems like it's pervasive across the room. So, town hall meetings should be an opportunity for the public to be able to speak to their leaders and tell them what's on their mind. And ideally, I think these meetings should be structured so the lawmaker gives a very brief opening statement and then opens it up to questions. And I think hard, critical questions are completely appropriate. I'm far less comfortable with stage confrontations that are designed only to embarrass and disrupt the meeting.
Embarrassing policymakers won't exactly change the policy, is that correct?
Well, it seems like I think a lot of people come to town hall meetings in this current age of political disruption. I mean, I think town hall meetings are now less viewed as an opportunity to hear what your local lawmaker is doing, either in Washington and Springfield, and it's viewed more as an opportunity to try to put him or her on the spot, create uncomfortable moments that can be used in the next campaign commercial. And again, we're not trying to take the passion out of politics, but we're trying to create conditions in which town hall meetings are more civil, in which the discussion is more productive and focused, and less of a professional wrestling match or a pie-throwing contest.
And so that kind of like leads into my second question as to, was there anything specifically that inspired to make these recommendations, or has it more of just a trend that you have maybe been seeing for maybe the past 5 or 10 years and it's almost hit like a cap or a break?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, what happened just very briefly is the Lugar Center, which is a think tank in Washington, approached the Simon Institute about doing a project as part of their program in which they have universities do programs for their particular state. So we talked to them about doing various programs, but the one that seemed most interesting to me was looking at town hall meetings, which were a really important part of Paul Simon's political career. He made a career of traveling through the state, holding town hall meetings, and Simon would come to a front of a room with a notebook. He would sit down in a chair and he'd say, you know, I'm Paul Simon, tell me what's on your mind. And most of these encounters were very productive, and he even said that he would hear things that would make big problems far more specific and concrete and tangible. So, you know, town hall meetings were an important part of Senator Simon's public service. And as I started to research this issue a little bit, I saw that there was a growing sense throughout the country that town hall meetings have become very, very disruptive and angry. In fact, a number of lawmakers are no longer doing in-person town hall meetings. They're doing what are called virtual town halls, which are basically either town halls over the telephone or over the internet. So what our thought was is to see if we could put together a set of best practices that could structure in-person town hall meetings in such a way that they could be productive exercises for both the policymaker and the public. And it seems particularly appropriate now with an election just months away, with the summer campaign season heating up, to lay out some of our ideas on how town hall meetings can be constructed for the good of the public and for policymakers.
So speaking about technology, then are there ways that we can use technology to rather build a bridge between the polarized sides instead of dividing it?
Well, you know, and some believe that, and I should make that one point, you know, we believe that in-person town hall meetings are really important. But we also believe that there might be some ways that you could do these virtual town hall meetings, either through the internet or telephone, to reach a much larger audience and to reach out to people who just can't come to in-person town halls. But for these to work, you need to have a sort of neutral moderator preside, because there's a number of examples I've heard of in which a House member or Senate member would have, you know, a quote, a telephone town hall meeting, and, you know, they would respond to 15 questions, all of which were completely, you know, favorable to them. And it was so staged and so false that it turned people off. So I think the critical thing is to have a moderator who could sort of oversee these meetings and bring in, and have the policymaker listen to and answer to a number of questions that may or may not be particularly friendly to them. So I think that's really important.
Okay, well, that's all of my questions that I had. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or anything that I missed that you feel is important?
No, you know, I thought you did a great job. I mean, I guess I would just make the summary comment that I think that, you know, town hall meetings are an important part of our democracy, but it seems like they have become, it seems like they're now under assault by the kind of fierce political polarization. And, you know, we're not trying to take the passion out of politics, but we're trying to see if these town hall meetings can be organized in such a way that policymakers can, you know, hear the concerns of their constituents, they can respond to them, the discussion can be respectful and productive, and everyone walks out of the encounter feeling like it was respectful and fair and well organized. And that's what we're aspiring to do, and we hope that policymakers in Illinois and maybe even across the country, the Lugar Center has said that they'd like this report to be the basis of a nationwide effort to revive and restructure town hall meetings. And so we're glad that our report hopefully can lead the way for a much broader national discussion about town hall meetings.
Reading it, I just came back to this would be like almost the map of finding common ground that Paul Simon was really passionate about seeking.
Right, and it's, I mean, and, you know, just in my own experience, I've heard, I was talking to his son and daughter and said that, you know, he would go to a town hall meeting and someone would say that, you know, Medicaid or Medicare would not pay for false teeth. So he would go, I mean, he had sort of heard about the limitations of Medicaid and Medicare, but then he would go back to Washington and talk to, you know, government officials and say, how come, you know, it doesn't pay for this service? So these town hall meetings can really make problems specific and tangible. And I think they can be designed in a way that they can be almost problem-solving exercises rather than staged events in which people are trying to embarrass the lawmaker for the next election. We want them to be more constructive discussions between leaders and the public.